With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's time for the BallQuest Mailbag Podcast, answering your questions from the general's quarters every week, right here on BallQuest.
Hey, good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome to the BallQuest Mailbag Podcast. I'm Eric Kane, alongside Brent Hubbs and Austin Price. As always, big thank you to our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions for bringing us coverage of this podcast. They've been local and trusted since 1999. If you have a need for roofing, siding, repairs, upgrades, whatever the case may be, pick up the phone, give them a call today at 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Got a full bank of questions. We'll go ahead and jump right down into it. We'll start with Pine. How many new transfer portal players do you predict to start? Austin, you want to take this one first?
Ooh, that's a great one. That's a great question. Do not believe Moy will start. I believe that Holden Stace will start. I believe that Lance Hurd will start. Wide receiver-wise, maybe Brazel. We'll see. Jermon McCoy, I expect to start. Same thing with Jacoby Thomas. That'd be about right, Hubs?
I got him with four. I got Lance Hurd, Holden Stays, Jacoby Thomas, and McCoy at corner. That's my four.
Yeah, I said four definites and maybe Brazel, depending on, you know, where's Brew in the rehab, where's Dante Thornton at in the process.
Yeah, I think four. It would be my selection. Could be a fifth, but my guess is four. And we'll see. I think Staves will start over Ethan Davis, but, you know, that one could be a bit of a toss-up there between those two.
They're both going to play a lot of snaps.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah. I mean, that position's been split 50-50 the last three years, right?
Yeah, now, where it's not going to be split 50-50, in my opinion, is at corner, at left tackle, and at safety. I think those three guys are going to play the bulk of the snaps at those positions, McCoy, Thomas, and Hurd.
All right, well, we'll jump down to Taylor Vall. Says, with Billy Emick out, do you start Ariel Antigua at shortstop and move Dean Curley over to third base, or keep Curley at shortstop, put Alex Perry or Bargo at third base? Yeah, we saw on Tuesday night them kind of experimenting with this, slid Dean down, put Ariel at shortstop, and you saw what all the hype was about with Ariel Antigua defensively. He tied a Tennessee program record with 9 defensive assists, and he made a couple of really, really tough plays look pretty easy, and so he had a really, really good game defensively in his first career start. So I think you'll see that look while Billy is out for, in my estimation, probably this weekend, and then we'll see about next weekend, but it's going to be more than just one game. It's going to be a handful of games. We'll see if they continue to run with Dean at third and Antigua at shortstop, but to your point, Alex Perry's an option. Ethan Payne's an option. I doubt Dalton Bargo would play third, but maybe an emergency situation.
Did Antigua, when he ran out there to start the game, did he do a backflip going to short?
He did not, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
Okay, gotcha. I mean, I know you described him as the wizard.
I'm going to tell you right now, he made a couple of plays last night that you go, okay, I get the hype. I mean, we'll see what the bat looks like with him moving forward, but talking about range, arm, you get why he was going to be Tennessee's starting shortstop till he jammed his thumb sliding into second base on the practice field. Or in practice. I mean, the guy can field. There's no doubt about that. He made a couple of terrific plays last night.
Yeah, no doubt. We got a couple here from Sam Smith, 2233. We'll start with basketball. Ramey and Rob, what matchups can Tennessee exploit against the Blue Jays? Rob texts in. He said, I think Tennessee should be way more physical pretty much across the board. I think that should show up in the contested shots and rebounding. Will be interesting to see how the game is called. Can Tennessee take advantage of that style? Creighton won't be afraid to play fast. They think it suits them. Tennessee has won a couple of track meets against some very good offensive teams like Kentucky and Auburn. I think Tennessee's defense will keep it from being a game in the 80s, but if it doesn't, it'll be interesting to see if the Vols weren't better than Creighton, a bargain for an up-tempo game. Brent, you want to add anything to that in terms of, you know, how Tennessee can exploit any type of matchups against Creighton?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Tennessee plays Creighton's drop coverage on the pick and roll. And what I mean by that is that they're going to drop their big man back to protect the rim. Creighton's totally fine with you taking a 15-foot jump shot. So what's Tennessee's answer to that? Do they pick and roll with Connect in the middle of the floor and he gets that 15-foot jumper and he's willing to take it consistently and makes it? Can they get to the rim and do some things there? So I think there's some chess match going on in terms of how you handle the way that Creighton plays defense. I think the other key, and I think Austin mentioned this, maybe you did too, Eric, I think the other key in this game is Tennessee limiting offensive rebounds by Creighton. When you shoot 40 threes a game, which is about what Creighton's going to average, man, that ball goes every direction, right? I mean, it can carry them long, and that's where you end up with some second-chance opportunities. So I think Tennessee limiting Creighton's offensive rebounds off the missed threes is going to be a key stat to watch in this game, because that's where you get yourself in trouble, because you find yourself in a scramble mode at that point. So everybody's going to have to go to the rim and rebound, particularly those long rebounds off missed 3-point shots.
I have a request, though. If you're going to read what Rob said, you've got to do it like Rob, Eric. I think that's important going forward. You got to get up, walk around, muffle the, you know, rub the mic around a little bit.
We got to make it like he's actually here, right?
That's right.
How would you defend Zach Edey? Rob says, first off, keep it simple. See if you can get away with playing him straight up and use the length and athleticism on the wing to really pressure the ball and make entry passes difficult. I think that is key. And Tennessee has length with guys like Connect, Josiah, Meshack to do it. Santi isn't long, but he's great at getting into guys and not letting him be comfortable. Adu is also a different guy, and he was in the first half of November. I would be interested to see if Jonas's response this time around. If Adu struggles, I don't think you'll see Tennessee sell out to double-team him, but they'll give him help where they can. Can't go overboard there. Purdue is built to exploit that. Would you guys add anything in terms of how?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that you have to be careful. I think Edie's a solid passer out of a double-team. I don't think he's the greatest passer out of a double-team. So I think you got to pick your spots when you're going to dive and help and you know, at certain points in times too, you want to make sure Purdue's making something from the perimeter. They are built to shoot the ball better from the perimeter. It's not just all on Edie. But, you know, worry about that one when you get there. I got a long ways to go before you get there. This one Friday night is no walk in the park and no giving against a Creighton team that's on a mission. They bring a lot of people back from a year ago. They were nearly a Final Four team a year ago. When they played San Diego State and nearly pulled out that win there. So, you know, this one Friday night has got a chance to be as good as any of the Sweet 16 matchups that we've seen out there, I think. I think this is going to be a really, really fascinating basketball game to watch on Friday night. And I think it should be entertaining, even though it's going to be at midnight when they play.
I did get the chance to see Tobey Awaka earlier in the week, and I said, do you like late games? So this is going to be a late start. He goes, I love late games. He had that look in his eye. Remember that?
He had that look in his eye.
Crazy look in his eye.
I tell you what, he played. I mean, the thing for him is he's got to play without fouling.
Yeah.
If he could have played without fouling, he could have gone for 20 the other night against Texas because he was dialed in. He just can't pick up those cheap fouls along the way. And if Tennessee were to get to Edie, I do think they can throw more bodies. They can throw a couple different guys at him, which maybe they weren't comfortable doing back in November. So we'll see. The challenge with Edie is just he gets a lot of foul calls on his behalf, and he plays this little ping pong off the backboard. You know, when you think it should be an over the back and it's not an over back, he's hard to box out. I mean, he's a really good college basketball player. I don't know what it translates to in the NBA, if anything, but he's a handful in the college game for sure.
Yep, he shoots a lot of free throws, no doubt about that. Couple more baseball questions. Kane, the second best Charlie in college baseball, comes to the friendly confines this weekend. How do you pitch around him with a good lineup? Talking about Charlie Condone, of course, of Georgia. Really, really good player. As you point out, I mean, you got guys around him too, so he can't let the fear of him kind of hurt you for getting tagged for a couple more runs if you pitch around him, try to put him on base. I don't know. It's a really good question. I'm going to ask Luke later on in the week on the Porch Podcast kind of how Tennessee should go about pitching to him. Leads the nation in home runs. Georgia leads the nation in home runs. Tennessee's number two. The ball, excuse me, the ball is going to be flying for sure at Lindsey Nelson Stadium this weekend. And assuming A.J. Russell can come back, do you make him a reliever or try to stretch him out to be a starter? In my opinion, I mean, we'll see how the week goes and they get, you know, more answers from an MRI scheduled earlier in the week. I mean, in my opinion, he's going to be missing some time anyway. And so by the time he gets back, it will take him a lot longer to stretch out. I'm not saying that he won't start a game, but I think that you just kind of, you know, continue to take it a game-by-game approach. Kind of use him like you did against Ole Miss, and then, you know, when you need a fourth starter or a third starter or whatever, when postseason play comes around, of course you throw him out there. I just think, you know, you take it by game-by-game approach with him, and you want to put him in big spots because he's one of your best pitchers. So that's totally up in the air right now. We'll see exactly kind of what that MRI looks like, but I think that's very much TBD right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get to the point where health-wise he can do either. He can do anything, and that's the first and foremost. I mean, yeah. You can't pencil him into anything until you know exactly what's going on and when you may get him back moving forward. So I think that one's way too premature. I think you got to go – I think they go into Sundays with to be determined, and it's by committee on Sundays, and it's going to be by committee on Sundays, I think, for a while at this point in time.
Yeah,
which is about what most SEC teams do every Sunday anyway. But that's where Tennessee's at. They just haven't been there the last couple of years, so it feels weird.
And you saw Xander kind of open that game and then Snead come in behind him. And, you know, Xander didn't pitch in the midweek, so, you know, that looks like a very strong possibility again for this Sunday. And, you know, I don't hate that at all.
Well, and I wonder, right quick, I wonder if that means you also extend your Friday night starter. He throws more pitches than you would typically throw, because you've got to save more arms than you've had to save in previous years going into Sunday, because you've always been set with your three starters the last couple of years. So it didn't matter on Friday night. Throw whoever you wanted to throw or needed to throw in the bullpen and get a guy out at you know, 90 to 100 pitches. I wonder if you extend a little bit more earlier in the weekend if your starter's going well, because you're trying to save as many arms as you can because it's by committee on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know they'll do that with Beam too on Saturday. I mean, we saw that against Alabama.
He's got to get his pitch count down in the early innings. He's wasted way too many pitches in the first three or four innings, which is putting him in a tough spot into the middle third of the baseball game because his count's already so high. They need him to be a little more efficient, I think, in the first two or three innings throwing the baseball. It's almost like he's trying to be a little too finite to start games. Too deep into the count with guys, you know, just throw some strikes, get some ground balls, and, you know, get through the first, you know, the first part of the game.
And the way AJ Causey's been pitching on Fridays, I mean, he's, you know, been around that 100 marker the last couple weeks, and he's going to even ball games anyway. So you kind of let him ride. Let's go to Vulcan. I know this is a we will have to wait and see question, but assuming the guys on the current Vols football roster live up to their potential, whatever that means. Obviously, James Pierce would be number one on the most draft-worthy list of Vols, and assume Nico's number two, if not 1A. In your opinion, again, assuming everyone reaches their potential, I know that never happens, you know, body type and all that, but who would be 3, 4, and 5? Essentially, who are pro scouts keeping an eye on Tennessee's roster?
I would go Lance Hurd. You know, again, what do we always talk about? What quarterbacks, guys that can protect the quarterback, and guys that can – you know, get to the quarterback. And I think that Lance Hurd would, you know, just looking at him, looking at, you know, listening to him talk, having done a Vol Club Confidential with him, they'll come out next week earlier in the week. You know, I think he'll impress if he reaches his potential, boatloads of talent there. I think Jermod McCoy, because he's a lengthy, he's a long corner, can run, really impressive, would also be up there for me, Hubbard.
Yeah, and then you're talking about some young receivers. You just have to see how they develop, you know, over the course of time. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know where Brazel is going to be. I'm fascinated to watch where Dante Thornton is going to be. I think he's got all the potential in the world, but I mean, he's got miles to go before he's, you know, on the radar screen that way. But from a size and build standpoint, you know, he looks the part. But again, I mean, this is an interesting team because they're old in some spots, right? And very experienced in some spots. That defensive line is old, but I don't know that you're sitting there looking at outside of Pierce that there's a bunch of high draft picks on that defensive line. Now, Bryson Easton could turn it on and everybody could fall in love with him, right, AP? I mean, same thing with Omar Norman Lott. I mean, somebody could fall in love with those guys. Then you look at some other spots where they're really talented, and you're talking about some really young players who, to the poster's point, is you just don't know how their development is going to be, right? I mean, I don't know what Cam Seldon's going to look like in another year and a half. I don't know what Peyton Lewis looks like long term. You know, I mean, so it's really an interesting blend of some veterans in some key spots. Who are important to them, and then they're going to be young in some other spots, and probably their youth has got maybe the more upside potential right now than even some of the veteran guys do in terms of the NFL.
We will stay with Vulcan. He says, obviously the Vols have to get past Creighton first, but if that can happen somehow, what do you see as the game plan with Purdue if they also get through?
We talked about that, it's all about Edie, right? I mean, you can't let that guy go for 20 and 20 on you. Okay. I understand that Purdue's got some guys who can shoot the ball from the perimeter. They're better. They've brought in some transfers to kind of put some pieces around him. And so I understand that, but you can't just let him, and I get what Rob was saying earlier in his message, but you keep it simple and you try to play him one-on-one. Yeah, I mean, you try to do that. The question is, can you do that? And if you can't, what's your answer? I think that would be the key to that matchup is how do you attack Edie if you can't play him one-on-one? I think everybody's going to try to play him one-on-one, but can you disrupt him enough to do that? But again, first and foremost, you better find a way to beat Creighton, who's a 180-degree opposite style of play than what you would see from Purdue. I mean, not even in the same zip code in terms of style of play. I mean, Creighton is very much like an Alabama style. And obviously Purdue's an old school style that's playing inside out with a big man.
I miss Denarius Moore says, how have our tight ends shown up in practice? Where is Okoye on weight? Does Say seem like to be the real deal? AP, I feel like Okoye is still very much a work in progress, and they've been pleased with what they've seen from Stay so far, but obviously new to the system, still a work in progress.
Yeah, I'm not so locked in on him playing tight end. Like I could see him moving after spring.
Okoye, right?
Yes, Okoye. Stays, again, I think he and Ethan Davis are very similar from a standpoint of, from a pass catching standpoint, they check all the boxes. How physical can they be in the run game? I think that's the biggest question for me, really probably on the offensive side of the ball in spring practice, minus now Cam's injury and just the running back depth, is, you know, how physical can this group of tight ends be? Is that Miles Kitzelman's – is that his path to the field? Because he is the physical, probably the most physical of the tight ends. But, you know, I think Stays and Ethan and both have the frame to do it. It's just a matter of, you know, again, they've been predominantly pass catchers in their lifetime. And I think it all boils down to how much do they really want it. You look a year ago, I thought McCallum Castles came a long way from spring up until you know, when he played his final game against Iowa in the Citrus Bowl in that department.
Yeah, and I don't know what you do with Okoye. I just don't know where – I just don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to help you this fall at any position. And so I think you've got time to figure out where you think he might be of some help to you in 25. And I think that's what you're more looking at than you are 24 in terms of his ability to help this football team at some position if he can. And I think that his development is still to be determined there because he's such a raw player.
Yes. Yeah. Let's go to Lloyd Valls. Why is the offensive line being talked about as potentially the most improved position group outside of quarterback? Massive upgrades at left tackle, left guard, at least flat at center, right guard, more experienced. Right tackle's a better fit for Campbell and a strong freshman class to improve depth. It cost us the Florida game last year, in my opinion. Couple of things here.
Can't say left guard's an upgrade when they don't have one.
Yeah. First and foremost, for sure, they literally don't have a left guard, so you can't call it an upgrade right now. How do we know that Campbell's a better fit on the right side? I mean, he might be. We don't know right now. So that's another thing. And as far as the Florida game, I mean, I hear you. Tennessee's offensive line didn't have its best game, but Neither did Joe Milton. Neither did the defense in the second quarter. There was a lot of factors that went into that Florida game. But I guess to his point, the offensive line, you like the experience coming back. And if Hurd can jump in, get the offense, and be who we think that he's going to be, I mean, this offensive line should be in a good spot. However, Brent, like we talk about all the time, got to find some depth.
Well, the problem in the Florida game was the center wasn't on the field. Okay? Yeah. And guess what? If the center's not on the field for this year in the Florida game, it's a problem. Because they don't have a backup center yet, okay? So you have an and listen, I get the young guys, but they're young guys. I mean, Gage Ginther's not ready to play right now. I mean, how many freshmen walk in ready to go right out of the gate? And I think Gage Ginther's going to be a really good player. I like Jesse Perry. Jesse Perry's experiencing a kick step for the first time in his life in pass protection. You know, so it's just there's some talent there, but it's got to be developed over time. You're not going to walk in and say, hey, these three freshmen are in our two deep. We feel really comfortable in any given situation putting them on the field. That's just not where you are right now.
Well, I mean, when you look at the top seven guys, I do think that they're vastly improved from a year ago. I mean, I think the tackles are better. I mean, you look at Hurd and Campbell on the right is a much better combination than Campbell on the left and, you know, Mincy or Crawford on the right. Dane Davis will plug into that kind of Ollie Lane kind of, you know, do everything kind of guy. The other two remain the same. And if they can find a left guard, whether that's somebody on the roster or, you know, maybe they go to the portal, probably not, but maybe, you never know. Does Lampley continue to progress? What happens with Sham, Andre Keurig, so on and so forth? If they can find somebody to be really solid at left guard, I think it is a much improved, much more athletic, talented group. But again, you still got to find that left guard spot.
And I'm telling you, you got to find a backup center. You better find a backup center. I'm going to beat that drum for a while because, I mean, Cooper's had 1 year at Tennessee where he's played in every game and got through it. He's had a couple of years where he was hurt. He had the hernia. He had the ankle sprain. I'm not saying he's going to get hurt, but you did not have a plan last year for a backup center. I don't know that you've got a backup center coming, you know, right now. I don't know where that's at with Vice and Lang. Somebody's got to become a backup center that you know coming out of spring practice, this is my guy. So you're not just throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks in case you get an injury the way you did a year ago.
Yeah, I will say I think the staff really benefited from having Ollie Lane come back last year. I think they're going to benefit for having Dane Davis come back this year. I mean, a guy that can, as Austin said, he can play literally whatever
position
you want
on the offensive center. Line. Maybe,
yeah, I think he is. I think right now, today, I think that's what you just said is right. I think.
But again, to Brent's point, they got to break away from that at some point.
Well, yeah, because eventually these guys graduate. And they can't
Jerome Carvin, safety net. Ollie Lane, safety net. Dane Davis, safety net. I mean, there's not – those guys are going to be on the roster next year. So, anyway, we'll see by the end of spring kind of where they are in that regard. Hey, we're talking a lot of spring football. Also, getting ready for Tennessee in the Sweet 16. If you need to sneak in those tournament games while at work, Prime Video has got you covered. Watch every game live on your phone, on your laptop. Relax and watch at home on Prime Video with a subscription. Prime Video gives you choices to add channels like Paramount Plus, Max, both featuring NCAA tournament games all in one place. It's March, it's madness. Stream it all at Prime Video. And before we move on to answer more questions, let's get a word from our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions.
Severe weather can strike at any time in East Tennessee, and Mother Nature can do severe damage to the first and most important line of defense that you and your family have against Mother Nature, and that is your roof. Whenever she strikes, make sure that you call the people that I call. Make sure you trust the people that I trust, and that's my friends at Exterior Home Solutions, because they're more than friends, they're truly family.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Local and trusted since 1999. That is Exterior Home Solutions. That phone number 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Let's go to Reltley for Life. How many more years do you think Rodney Gardner wants to do this? Is Coach Chop the heir apparent there?
I think if Rodney left for another job, I think that Coach Chop would be under heavy consideration, probably be the favorite. Do I think it's a lock? No, just because you just never know what, you know, Coach Heupel wants to do, what Coach Banks wants to do. But I can tell you this, there's nobody more comfortable with Coach Chop than Tim Banks. So, I do think that he'd have an option there. You know, if Eckler were to leave after next season, you know, I think Chop would be an option to coach Leo's. We'll see. Again, I think, you know, a lot of this depends on kind of just how, you know, time and place and what you're looking for specifically for your staff.
And in terms of Rodney in retirement, I don't know, AP. I think he gets in those points like we all do when you get in the off season or you get at some point at the end of late in the year and you're like, I don't know how much longer I could do this. But this is his hobby too, right? I mean, like, I don't know what else. I mean, this is where he's most comfortable is what I'm saying.
Listen, Rodney, I think, has a target date in mind, and it ain't in the next 2 years, okay? So, like, I think, you know, now you're talking 5 years down the line?
Sure.
Probably not coach. But I think he wants at least one more contract after this current deal is done.
This one is for Robert Grant. What might we be looking for in the portal for the basketball squad? Expect any defections going the other directions.
Shooters.
Yeah, that'd be a good call.
Yeah.
Somebody that can create like Dalton Connect has been able to this year.
Yeah, worked out last year, right?
I don't mean Dalton Connect, okay? That's
yeah.
The white whale. What I'm saying, though, is somebody who can create. Like, you know, if things break down, put it in their hands, you let them go get their deal.
Rob answers it by saying, without question, they're going to have to go be looking for a scorer in size on the wing to replace Connect. That's a priority. After that, it's about who you lose. Won't know what holes you're going to have to fill until everyone has made that decision. The surprising thing in this day and age of college basketball would be if there weren't any defections. I would agree with that, man. I mean, it's no matter what sport it is, typically you're losing off your roster. You got to re-recruit your roster if you want to keep those guys. It's just kind of where we're at.
And listen, I know that, you know, football, the portal window opens in the middle of a playoff run, and that's going to be an issue that all coaches have. And that's a hard fix because of the semester. Is it not the easy fix in the world just to put the clamps on opening the portal up until the Tuesday after the championship game? Like, is that not easy? I mean, am I missing something from a calendar standpoint? I mean, what's the difference in 2 weeks? It gives everybody who's not playing, I guess, a chance, but why not just wait 2 weeks and then open it up so nobody's got anything to complain about at that point? I don't understand their calendar window for the basketball spring portal, but I don't understand a lot of what they do, I guess.
We'll move on now to DeKalb County Vol. He says, when Rick Barnes does finally decide to hang it up, who are some names that you think Danny Wilde would take a look at? I mean, this is all hypothetical. Brent, I mean, you care to comment on this? It doesn't look like Rick Barnes is close to slowing down. It looks like he still loves what he's doing.
Well, I mean, Rick Barnes loves the practice part of it. He loves games. I think there's probably some things about just the operation of it all that, I mean, I'm sure he's not loving a 10 o'clock start, travel and some of those things at some point in time is like, you know, it's not like football where you travel six times a year for the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're traveling on a Tuesday it's a grind. So, I mean, I don't know when Rick Barnes is going to be done. I have no idea. And I don't have any intel to say it's going to be now. I don't have any intel to say it's going to be 5 years from now. The same way, whenever that job comes open, who's the hot commodity whenever the job comes open, right? I mean, whoever's a hot commodity right now may be a dud in 2 years, right? I mean, it's just that's a crazy deal. I don't know that Danny White says. I'm sure he's got names right now, but those names will change from year to year, right, AP? I mean, that's just the way the nature of the beast.
It's easy to throw out Kim English, right? People like that. Sure. But at the end of the day, anybody that thinks that they know what Danny White's thinking on this thing is wrong. Danny White does things differently than everybody else. So, you know, and in some ways, that's a good thing, right? So, like, I you know, trying to speculate on that is just what it is.
We'll move on now to Swagger 12. With the lack of offensive line development with recruits, is the problem with evaluations or development? It has to be one or the other at this point. Is the lack of development with recruits affecting recruits at this point, Austin?
To this point, no.
And in terms of developing, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we're Sham, you know, and we're some of those guys. There's just not a lot of guys that play right out of the gate. I think they've clearly missed on some of these guys. I mean, I think, but I don't think anybody bats 1,000, you know, particularly at that position in recruiting. But I mean, at some point in time, somebody they recruited out of high school ranks is going to have to play football for them.
Well, you got to remember the first year or two they were here, they weren't getting the same quality offensive linemen out of the high school ranks as they got this past cycle or even the Sham cycle. You know, those first couple of years, that you know, it was more just kind of like cloud hanging over their head. You know, they weren't able to bring in as good of an offensive lineman out of the high school ranks as, you know, they have the last year or two. So we'll see when that group gets to year two and year three. At that point, they better be on the field or something is amiss.
Well, and if you give any remote thought of going into the portal after spring practice looking for a guard, then I got a little bit of a red flag about what's going on too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you got a lot of bodies there, and it starts with Jackson Lampley, Dane Davis, two veterans you didn't recruit, who have shown you they can play. Okay, that you can succeed. Maybe you're not dominant, but you can perform with those guys there. And then you got some guys you recruited at the guard position. If you come out of this thinking I got to go get another transfer for the guard spot, then to me that's a wait a minute. What's going on here? Why are we missing as bad in high school recruiting, or perceiving to miss as bad in high school recruiting as it would appear if that's the direction they go? I don't think they're going to do that personally, but if they did, I don't know. That would be a bit of a head scratcher for me.
Got a couple here from Athrun. Could we leave the weekend of the 6th with any commitments, Austin?
I don't think so. You have Douglas Sutu coming in, or Darius Jackson, several more, but then like anybody's super close.
June and July, right, AP?
Yeah, I mean there'll be a sprinkle of a few between now and then, but yes.
More likely at this point, Lang is the backup center this year or the field?
I'll go the field. I'm going to go Dane Davis is going to be this team's backup center.
It just feels like that's what's going to happen because that's what's happened the last 2 years, right? Or the last 3 years.
But I'm with Hubs. If you have to move on at some point, you can't. I mean, at the end of this year, Dane Davis, Cooper Mays, Javonte Spraggins, John Campbell, Lampley, Carrick. I mean, I don't know about Carrick. Maybe he can come back with him.
I think Carrick stays.
All those guys. You know, they all are leaving, pushed out the door, locked out, can't come back. There's no more.
Yeah, right now on the 28th of March, I'm taking the field. Now we'll see where it's at after three scrimmages, and you know how does Vice and I think Vice and Lang is going to get every opportunity this spring in scrimmage work because they're obviously going to limit Cooper. So I think you're going to have a pretty clear idea of where Vice and Lang is come April the 13th or whatever the spring date is to close out spring practice, then you're going to know. But if they're playing a football game tomorrow that counted, it's Dane Davis, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. Addison Nichols got every opportunity as well in spring and in fall camp last year. How crazy will the spring transfer portal window be nationwide in football?
You know what? I see all the chatter.
Here we go. Soapbox. Climb on it, baby.
I see all the chatter, and I see Josh Pate, and I talk to our guys at On3 and all this. And like, I can throw out a lot of innuendo and vague comments. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm hearing this. I'm hearing that. Do I think people will move around? Yes. Do I think that whole rooms are going to move around and the coaches at these new, at these schools have already got the – they've already handpicked out the replacements? No, I don't believe that. I do not believe that. And I'll sit here when we get to May 15th, if that has happened, and I'll go, I was wrong. But I just don't see – like, there's going to be movement. But what I'm telling you is I'm seeing a lot of guys that have left here or other places that are finding out grass isn't always greener. So how much are they talking to the players, you know, that have left going, hey, man, you left. What'd you find? Well, I found out that we had it pretty good where we were at. You know, again, there was going to be movement because that's what kids do. But do I think that you're going to just see like this crazy, crazy realm? Do I think that you could see somebody potentially that's a really big time guy try to go back? Yes. Go back to the school they were at? Yes. But I just don't think you're going to see like this whole room change. Like, the Ohio State wide receiver room just decided to leave, and they've already brought in these guys. Like, and I'm just throwing out names. I'm not saying anybody's leaving Ohio State. I'm just – my point is I just don't believe that.
Well, remember this, and this is what I've known the last couple of years. We've had more stories written in admin about guys leaving that never got published than we did published guys who left, okay? So there's always speculation, and there's always talk about this guy, that guy, and you'd be prepared for it. That's what you do. Here's the other thing, too, Eric, that I think you got to look at. You can't go SEC to SEC right now in the spring.
Yep.
So, how many schools out there, if you're in the SEC world and you're looking for more, if you're more looking for more NIL and it's about a money move, how many options outside the SEC are there that's going to take you? Now, there's certainly schools outside the SEC that are involved in NIL and are a big factor, but there's a lot of people who are out there begging for money that don't have it. You know, now there'll be some guys move, but I just don't – I will be surprised if it's this massive landmark of chaos with a bunch of starters bolting, bunch of guys who are going to be in regular rotations bolting. I'm with AP. If I'm wrong, find me in the middle of May, and I'll tell you, hey, I was 100% wrong. I think it's a lot more rumor right now, and I'm not sure those rumors become fact when we get into this second window.
And again, we've heard this before every transfer portal window we've had the last couple of years. Now, I mean, the first one of this offseason was pretty big, but I mean, it's always different. The second window, it's shorter. There might be some quarterback shuffle a little bit, but to your point about name, image, likeness, few and far between when you get outside of the Southeastern Conference, and not being able to go from SEC school to SEC school, I think will play a big factor in that.
Real quick, I mean, you do have a couple of high-profile coaching moves, right? Some big schools, some known schools, Alabama, some other schools have new coaches. They're probably still looking to flip their roster and do some things to their roster because they want to get some of their people, which is part of this talk as well. I just don't think it's going to be this massive movement coast to coast.
Now, I will say this, and this was the theory floated to me by one person yesterday. Is that, you know, the schools that have coaches that are basically, they're one and done, right? Or everybody knows that, like, barring something unforeseen, like, there's going to be a coaching change at that school at the end of the year, that the spring window could be kind of paint the portrait of, you know, the coaching carousel to come at the end of the 24 season. And I could see that. Like, I mean, how many guys at Florida that are really good players?
Yeah.
Man, I am not doing this fall. We're going to get skull drug. I'm out of here. And they bolt for some other place. I think that could happen.
But remember, they can't go to the SEC.
Correct. Does a Florida kid go to Florida State or Miami?
Right. Or do they wait and go in the portal in December so they can go where they want to go if they want to move around in the SEC?
Or does somebody sue and get that changed?
That's a fair question too, AP. Very fair. It's going to happen at some point.
Yep.
Got a couple more here. Let's go rapid fire to end the show. Andrew says
50%. Yes. No. 33%.
Love it. Love the energy. Andrew says, who are the tackles if they play tomorrow? Hurd and Campbell both go down. So who are the tackles if both Hurd and Campbell both go down? I would say Dane Davis is one of your tackles at that point, and probably I don't. Who's the other one, guys? I don't know.
That's a great question.
I don't know.
I mean, you could probably try to slide. You would probably play Dane at left and maybe try to slide Sham back out to play some right tackle because he's rep there. Because I don't think Jesse Perry's ready. Yeah. Trevor Duncan's certainly not ready at this point. You know, you're just, at that point, you're grasping and trying to piecemeal some stuff together that way. But I mean, Dane's going to be your first guy. He's going to be your swing guy.
Yeah.
You know, but what you're doing is you're hoping you don't lose both your tackles to injury.
And again, the fact that we couldn't think of another one just shows you ain't no depth there right now.
Well, I can give you some guy. I mean, Andre Curritt played tackle at Texas. You know, I mean, I don't think you want to play him out there, but I mean, you could. I mean, that's a guy who's lined up at tackle in a Power Five football game. So, I mean, you can, you know, you would just have to piecemeal it. It wouldn't be pretty, but that's just where you are right now. And I don't know.
Bennett Warren would be an option as well, but he's not even here right now. I mean, right. He'd be brand new.
And I'll say this. I don't know how many people in the country that you take out both their offensive tackles and it's a plug and play of two guys that you feel really comfortable with.
Yeah.
Not many people have that kind of depth around the country.
In the interior, it seems more clear cut. Lang would go to center. A lot of options at guard, but inexperienced. Yeah, sure. I mean, say your tackles are healthy. Obviously, you have Dane Davis that can play guard. Lang can play center or guard. Carrot can play guard. Sham can play guard. Lampley can play guard. And also, in this whole conversation, Spraggins is one of your starting guards, and one of those guys will be your other starter. So, inexperienced, I would agree with, but more options in the interior, I would say. Let's go to Nashville 615. What's the best nugget you've heard about Nico this spring?
AP?
Just that I think he's just probably become more vocal. I mean, I don't think there's a specific, like, you know, like story. But you know, the more people I've talked to have just talked about, he is more of a vocal leader than he was. And he's a quiet kid by nature.
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably just talking to some people, you know, better command. And just a guy who makes plays. Now, I think the challenge for him is going to be to understand, live to play the next play sometimes. And you're not always trying to make to bar the old Jerry Green line, the magnanimous play every time. Sometimes a throwaway is a good play. I think that's always a work in progress with him. But, I mean, he's just a guy who has made plays when he's been out there. So, you know, better command, making plays. You know, I think nobody in the program's disappointed with where Nico is right now in his development. I've not heard anybody going, "Well, I don't know, he's behind schedule," or I think everybody's really excited about where Nico is right now.
Could you elaborate? This one's from Vol Through It All. Could you elaborate on the recruitment of Jordan Ross? Did Alabama and Auburn not recruit him? Can't remember ever getting a five-star from Birmingham that Alabama and Auburn wanted.
Yeah, they both recruited him. And I think late in the process, wish they had recruited him a lot harder than they did.
Had a great senior year, was not a five-star, you know, back in the spring. A lot of people were taking a little bit of a wait and see. Georgia slow played him some. Alabama and Auburn were a little bit of a slow play. Tennessee loved him. They jumped on it. They got it done. And then he proved Tennessee to be right with the way he played his senior year. And then everybody tried to come in late. Right, AP? Right. Is that not an accurate statement on – I mean, credit to him for his development. I mean, he's a guy who – got a lot better between his junior and senior year in terms of production on the football field.
That's right.
Last batch of questions here from Lick My Vols 14.
Did you have to read that?
Well, I'm just
my kids listen to this.
It's the poster screen name. I mean, you know, we can
flag the screen name. You knew what he meant.
Could Caleb Webb jump into that wide receiver?
Not happy, Kane. He'd not raise you that way.
Could Webb jump in that wide receiver two role over Dante Thornton?
Good. Yeah. I mean, I think anything's on the table at wide receiver. Now, again, I think for Nimrod and Webb, they have to have a little bit of urgency because
you know,
last year they were playing because they had nobody else. That's not the case anymore. There's plenty of bodies.
Which running back would you like to see step up with Seldon out for spring? Brent, I think the conversation starts with Khalifa Keith. Deshaun Bishop's there as well. But Khalifa Keith's probably in the best position to go and take advantage of this, right?
For me, it's Bishop's the X factor.
Yep,
because what can he be? He was so productive in high school. He had a good spring last year. Then it kind of disappeared. And I'm not saying Khalif's not got some talent, but I don't know what his ultimate ceiling is. I think Bishop's got a pretty decent ceiling. It's just, where's his focus? Is he locked in? You know, all those types of things. To me, it's about Bishop. Now, you wish Peyton Lewis was out there, AP, because then that changes the dynamics of everything in that room. But for me right now, the window is thrown wide open for DeShawn Bishop. I think it's how much does he run with it the rest of spring?
I agree. I like Bishop's game, and I also will be the first one to get on the table. And you know, Hubs has heard me say this. I think Peyton Lewis is the next great Tennessee running back. I really do. I think I look at his size, his speed, the smoothness in which he runs. I love every thing about his game. But as far as the spring, DeShawn Bishop has some qualities that are really, really good.
Yeah. He and Khalifa will get every opportunity in the world.
Samson's going to be like, hey, over there.
Yeah. We'll get every opportunity in the world just to show, like, hey, this is who I am. Feeling on Ethan Utley, a couple days out.
No change.
With how well the newcomers, the transfers, look in the backfield, defensive backfield, how athletic they look, should we be seeing better pass defense this year? Seems to be the Achilles heel for all of our losses. Would agree with that. Also, Brent, I think something that's going to help the defensive backfield, just like at times it helped them last year. Boy, that defensive line should get after the passer, and it should help that back in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're more athletic. They've got to go out and execute. They're not as experienced, but they're more athletic. I don't know that people took into account how much things changed in the back end when Kamal Haddon went down, because he was kind of an island corner. You could leave him out there, man, and you could adjust some other things if you needed to. I don't think you felt as comfortable doing that once you had the injury. Slaughter wasn't healthy most of the year last year. I'm not making excuses for those guys, but that secondary played a lot better played better to me when Kamal Haddon was on the field than they did when he wasn't on the field. But they're more athletic. It's about going out and executing. I mean, they're going to bust some stuff. They're going to make some mistakes. But you know, athletically, I think they can overcome some of those mistakes a little better than they have been able to in previous years. But we'll see. I like McCoy. I like Gibson at corner, but we'll see how they execute it there when it's all said and done.
Give our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions a call today if you have a need for roofing, siding, repairs, upgrades, whatever that case is. They've been local and trusted since 1999 here in Knoxville and East Tennessee. 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Big thanks to them for helping us out here with the coverage of this podcast. Big thank you for sending in your mailbag questions like you do each and every week and letting us have something to work with here on a Thursday morning. For Brent Hubbs, Austin Price, I am Eric Kane, and we'll talk with you again next week on the VolQuest podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest mailbag podcast every week right here on VolQuest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.